Our lesson today comes from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. Hear God's word from John. The Word was first. The Word present to God. God present to the Word. The Word was God, in readiness for God from day one. Everything was created through him. Nothing, not one thing, came into being without him. What came into existence was life, and the life was light to live by. The life light blazed out of the darkness, and the darkness couldn't put it out. There once was a man, his name was John, sent by God to point out the way to the life light. He came to show everyone where to look, who to believe in. John was not himself the light. He was there to show the way to the light. The life light was the real thing. Every person entering life, he brings into light. He was in the world, and the world was there through him. And yet the world didn't even notice. He came to his own people, but they didn't want him. But whoever did want him, whoever believed he was who he claimed to be and would do what he said, he made to be their true selves. Those are the God begotten, not blood begotten, not flesh begotten, not sex begotten. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son. Generous inside and out, true from start to finish. John pointed him out and called, "This is the one I told you was coming after me, but in fact was ahead of me. He's always been ahead of me, has always had the first word." We all live off his generous bounty, gift after gift after gift. We got the basics from Moses, and then this exuberant giving and receiving, this endless knowing and understanding, all this came through Jesus, the Messiah. No one has ever seen God, not so much as a glimpse. This one-of-a-kind God expression, who exists at the very heart of the Father, has made him plain as day. May God give us understanding. Let's take just a moment in silent prayer. Amen. This last week, I had the opportunity to do a presentation for a group of students who are transitioning from seminary into ministry. To start off the session with the students, it's typical for this class, which takes place in January. It's typical for there to be devotions at the beginning, guided by the students. So two young men were doing the devotions that day, and the first one read the scripture, just as I read the scripture, and the second one had the devotional message. And when the scripture was read, the young man paused for a minute and he looked around at all the other students there, and he said, "You are nothing." And he repeated it. "You are nothing. You are nothing. You are nothing. You are nothing. You are nothing." And he repeated it over and over and over. How does that make you feel when you hear that? Would it surprise you to know that every time I heard it, I smiled even more? I smiled because this student was reminding me that as I was about to do this presentation, and I was nervous about it. Aren't we nervous as we're asked to do something publicly before others? And I was a little nervous. I wanted it to be meaningful to the students. And as he spoke, I got that wonderful, wonderful reminder that apart from God, We're all nothing. And that's actually a good thing. You see, most of our pain and our suffering and our struggles come because we think we have to be something. We think that we have to make it all happen. We think that we have to be the good ones, the doers, the beers. We have to make everything go right, and if it goes wrong, we feel terrible, like failures. How much of our sense of failure, our bad feelings about ourselves, are coming because we're trying to be it all. And it's liberating to be reminded we are nothing apart from God. So you see, a lot of our lives and a lot of our process is not about doing more. It's about cleaning ourselves out. It's about clearing out all those shoulda, woulda, couldas. All that stuff in our brain that we've been taught, not by God, but by well-meaning, very well-meaning human beings. Sometimes family members, sometimes even church members, telling us that we need to be different. And maybe we do need to be different. But it doesn't come out of us creating this person. It comes out of us emptying ourselves so that God can fill us with Him and then use our gifts for good. And that starts with us claiming Him. See, we forget that He gives us that choice. We are His children, but do we claim Him as our Father? Do we claim Him as our Lord? Do we really understand what that even means? And all that it could mean. This passage this morning is not about who we've been. It's not about who we are right now. It's lifting up a vision for who we can be in the future, for a hope and for a promise. As the passage said, there is much that's been written about God. But Jesus was the one who showed us. There's much written about the oughtas, the shoulds. But Jesus is the one who showed us how we human beings are to live and what we're to value. And the funny thing is when we have that starting place of knowing that we are nothing, a blank canvas, in a sense, it can be the most liberating thing in the whole world. Think for a moment in your own life when you felt like everything fell on you, that you were the one that somehow had to make it happen. Think about how you felt. Not a good feeling. Even when we think we know the way. But now change that image in your mind of knowing that you may not have everything nailed down, but all is good. Knowing that there's somebody in your life, this Lord in your life, who is right there guiding your path. And even when things seem confusing, even when things don't make sense, He's right there. And even during those times when things seem to go counter to what makes sense to you, imagine having the trust to know that it's all good. It's all good. He's in it. He's in it. You and I, we have a new year, a new beginning, a new time to discover ourselves. And the funny thing is, when we stop having to be a certain thing, talents and gifts and abilities can come out in ways we never imagined. It's like the small children. You know, we see kids and they're playing, they're experimenting with new things, they're trying things, and they're bold because they don't know what they can or can't do. They can follow their curiosity, they can follow their creativity, they can try things, experiment with things, and all with a sense of total awe. It's time we reclaim that. It's time we reclaim that childlike sense of wonder, knowing that we are children of God. And knowing that as we let God fill us, as we let God guide us, as we let God use us in creative, unexpected ways, we have nothing to fear. It's all good. It's all good. I know, it goes counter to what you've been taught. It goes counter to what we're led to believe is common sense. But have you tried it? Have you? Try it. When you become fearful and afraid, tell yourself, you are nothing and you don't have to be. You're not supposed to be. Let God in to do it. Turn it over to Him. Could be the biggest gift you ever give yourself. And when you don't know how to respond, how to act, really think genuinely, not of the cliche, not of the wristbands, not of the little signs, but really think about how Jesus would respond in your particular situation. Knowing that He walked with those that others considered unacceptable. Knowing that He loved each and every one of them regardless of their past. Knowing that He helped to paint a picture of something better. Knowing that every decision, every choice that He did was done out of love. Fill your heart and your life with that love. And be nothing but that love. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are nothing. How wonderful is that? How wonderful is it that we can be these instruments filled with You, guided by You, used by You to do amazing things. Open our hearts and our minds and our lives to You this year. Help us to be Your children, to claim You as Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.